Well, friends, I just want to say again what a joy it's been to welcome Pastor Keith back and to be with you all this morning. I hope that it's not too much to ask of us to think about Christmas continuing. And so before I share this brief reflection for us today, I just have to ask you all, how many of you have already taken your Christmas decorations down? Let's see a show of hands. There's no shame in this, no shame. Okay, decent number. How many of you, like me, are like, this Christmas tree will stay up until you pry it from... Sandra's standing up. Right. Okay, so there's a good mix here, right? I get it, though. I know that for many of us, you know, we've been hearing Christmas carols since, like, the day after Halloween. And so, you know, I can kind of get that we are maybe a little bit done with the commercial aspects of the Christmas season. But I hope and pray this day that in this season, whether you're just done with it and you're ready to move on, or whether you are just kind of basking in the glow of that Christmas tree just a little bit longer, I simply pray that you have been touched by the love and the grace and the heart of God. I asked Chris to share this picture again. If you were with us on Christmas Eve, you might recognize it. But I love the way that cross in the symbol of the Christmas star just communicates this dramatic action that God has taken on our behalf. I feel like when I look at that, I can see the way that heaven and earth are coming together in this incredible gift of Jesus. And so I pray that whether we're here celebrating baptisms, whether we're here celebrating Christmas, that you've known God's love in these days. You've understood that God is very much still at work in us and in our world. And so for those of us who are people of faith, Christmas really can be a way of life. But I wanted to take just a few minutes this morning, simply because I've been promising you we would do this, and I want to help you understand why it is that we celebrate the season of Christmas for 12 days, not in the commercial sense or like the song tells us to do by giving each other gifts, but 12 days to remember all that God has done on our behalf. So in the past, you'll find it, hopefully, I think it's interesting to note, that in the past, Advent and Christmas were actually kind of combined together into one really long, extended season, and wasn't really such a season of merriment the way that we celebrate it here, right? We like all of the sparkly, shiny, lovely, fun, happy, smiling things, right? We go to parties. We eat tons of food. We probably are all making plans in our minds right now, or if you weren't, now I've prompted you to do it, to think about how we're going to lose all that weight in the new year. And we've spent time visiting with friends and family. And while those last two things are not necessarily things that the ancient church would not have done, one of the things they certainly wouldn't have done was to sort of enjoy all of this food and this celebration. In the past, the seasons of Advent and Christmas were actually times to prepare for the Epiphany, to prepare for the incarnation of God. And so in the past, Christian traditions would have people repenting. They would have people fasting. You can think more along the lines of Lent, right? So at Lent, we always give something up and we take on that sort of mentality that we want to clear everything out of our heads and our hearts so that we can make room for the crucifixion and for the resurrection of Jesus. Well, in the past, that's precisely what the Advent and Christmas seasons were about as well. People would give things up for 4 to 6 weeks. They would do whatever it took to clear their hearts so that they could focus on the joy that was to come with the gift of the Christ child. And unlike us celebrating for like 6 weeks on end, they were really ready for that celebration. When it came time for Christmas to arrive, that December 24th to January 6th time frame, those 12 days, they were really, really ready to welcome the Christ child. They would also use the time to prepare for baptism in many ways. And so one of the great joys that we've had today is already to baptize a baby who is celebrating a birthday. How remarkable is that? But later on in this service, we're going to also reaffirm our own baptisms. And that's a way for us to say, you know, in all of this busyness and all of this bustle of our lives, What if we took a few moments? Might we do well to be quiet, to listen, to reflect, to say thank you, God, for the gift of this Christ child who comes to us in this most vulnerable, amazing way, that God would trust us enough to send God's son as a baby, that we might be responsible for loving that baby. We helped Jesus become the one who would save the world, and that is an incredible gift. So in these days, we pause for just a few moments, and we proclaim with great hope and faith that indeed God, through Jesus Christ, has changed everything for us and for our world. I really think that the ancient church knew the importance of naming and claiming all that God makes possible in the birth of Jesus. And so today we have an opportunity to continue celebrating that birth, continue celebrating the many ways that God reaches out faithfully to us, and we get the chance to reaffirm our commitments as well. So we're going to be a little bit more interactive in this service. So what I want to invite you to do first, there are two books in front of you, hopefully. There's a Bible and there's a hymnal. And most immediately, I want to invite you to pick up that Bible. Now, maybe you brought one with you. You have on your phone, you might be able to access on any kind of device that you have a Bible. So go in and pull that out. If you've got a pew Bible, you should be on page 59, and we're going to look at the second chapter of Luke together. All right, so for those of you who have pew Bibles, you're somewhere around page 59, I should say, in the New Testament. Let me clarify that. So you're going to have to flip towards the back of the book. You're looking for Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 21, if you're looking that up in your own Bibles. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Pretty much everybody good to go? All right. So what's happening at this point in the scripture is that the shepherds have just, right, they've received this incredible message from the angel. They've gone to visit Mary and Joseph and the baby. And now, according to verse 20, they have returned home and they are glorifying God for all that they have seen and heard. I know Christmas Eve was less than a week ago, but that can seem like a long time for some of us. So remember that scene of the shepherds. And here we pick up in verse 21, and this is about Mary and Joseph and the baby. So after 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as a holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but she worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when Mary and Joseph had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And Jesus, the child, grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. It's the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Isn't that a fascinating story? I am curious. You can nod or shake your heads. Are you familiar with this story? Have you heard these words before, a few of you? Yeah. These incredible people, Anna and Simeon, this incredible experience for Mary and Joseph, I'm thinking, my goodness, this child is not 8 days old when these things take place. Remember what it's like when a new baby comes into your heart and in your lives, how everything is just so changed. And here we see, when we read these words, what God impresses on my heart anyways, is that God is already so very present with us in the very daily, normal activities that are described in this scripture. Right, so Mary and Joseph in this scripture, they are attending to very ordinary things. They don't go out and do anything extraordinary in the days following the birth of Jesus, yet there is no denying that something extraordinary has happened. In this scripture passage, we learn that Jesus is circumcised, that his parents give him his name, that they themselves go to be ritually cleansed, that they dedicate him in the temple, much as this baby has been baptized this morning. They offer sacrifices, and they do all of this all before they return home to Nazareth. Now, for anyone out there among us who has had a baby, that list of things I just went over may seem like an extraordinary list of things to do, and that's understandable. I know after the birth of our children, all I wanted to do was to go home and simply be in nice, quiet space with my little family. But you know, in the time of Mary and Joseph, these were simply things that faithful Jews did after a baby was born. Nothing more, nothing less. Yet the actions of Mary and Joseph communicate to us that they made it a priority to be faithful with their very daily, ordinary lives. And in the midst of their ordinary faithfulness, God shows up in extraordinary ways. I love reading about Anna and Simeon and how they respond when they see this baby. Their words are just beautiful. Their reaction is incredible. And I have to think to myself, you know, if Mary and Joseph had hightailed it back to Nazareth to go home, then they would have missed all of this. They would have missed this astonishing sign from God that really confirmed how significant the birth of Jesus was. And as I look at Simeon and Anna, I am just amazed by their faith. Scripture indicates that these two had been hoping for, waiting for, actively searching for the Messiah, the one who would offer redemption and salvation, not only for the Jewish people, but for all people. Can you imagine Simeon there holding the Son of God in his hands? The Son of God as a baby. The amazement that moment must have been. The Holy Spirit moves in this dramatic way, and these two saints, you know, they are paying attention. They're open enough to hear and to respond and to move when they are called. It's also true that for them, in the midst of their very ordinary faithfulness, God shows up in this extraordinary way. So today, friends, as we think about what it means to celebrate Christmas for longer than one day, as we consider what it might look like for Christmas to be a way of life for us, as we take a little bit of time in holy wonder to think about Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna, I wonder today if we too might have the courage to ask how our own lives might be different, how this whole world might be changed and transformed if we actually lived our ordinary days like we really believed that God had done something extraordinary in offering Christ to the world. I believe that living with a Christmas heart means that somehow we are striving each day to be as available and as open to God as we possibly can be. Just like Mary and Joseph, just like Simeon and Anna, we are constantly looking for opportunities that God places before us to notice God, to claim God's love for us and for all people, to make ourselves available so that God can work both in us and through us, so that we get to be part of this incredible work that God does in reconciling the world to God's self. Because it's even and especially in the ordinary of the world that God uses that extraordinary love. It is even and especially in the struggles and the difficulties of this world that God works that extraordinary love. That entire scripture passage that we read, I know it was a little bit of a long one, but it's filled with all of this wonder and mystery. And yet, did you catch those couple of verses towards the middle there where Simeon offers some almost ominous and troubling words to Mary? He says, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed." And he says to Mary, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Tradition says that that simply is calling attention to the fact that one day Jesus will die on the cross and that the mother of God will be there. And so even in the midst of this joy, this amazing moment where Simeon encounters the Son of God, it's as if he knows that even though that salvation and hope and redemption come with the Christ child, the threats of evil and violence, of pain and sorrow, those are all still very present. They're all still very real. And yet, this is the world into which God chooses to come and be among us. You see, when God disrupts time and history with the gift of the Christ child, it is not only our hopes and joys that we realize belong to God, it is also the hard and holy work that we heard about in those baptismal vows just a few moments ago. The baptismal vows we'll repeat a few moments from now. Resisting evil, fighting injustice, renouncing the spiritual forces of wickedness. God in Christ changes even our hearts, and all of a sudden we are the ones who are given the courage and the strength and the boldness to speak light into some of the darkest places in this world. This sweet, precious baby that we celebrate and the season of Christmas can and does change everything for us and for all. So as we walk in the remainder of this Christmas season, as we prepare to enter a new year, I wonder again for us what it might look like, what might be possible if we actually live our ordinary days like we believe that something extraordinary has happened in God offering Christ to the world. In many ways, it's intimidating, and it's almost scary to consider what it might look like to commit to following someone who would risk everything to become vulnerable, to give up his very life for others, to trust that resurrection really does have the final answer. And through our baptismal vows, though, we get to join our voices together. We will do this together, and that's what's going to help. That's why you belong to the body of Christ. That's why you are part of a community of faith, because there are moments when it's hard to say, "I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead." So today, you get to say it with one another. We join our voices together to speak words of faith to and with one another. We offer ourselves to God. So we're, in these moments, going to move into a time where we are going to reaffirm our baptisms. And as we do so, friends, I pray that we would be brave in this Christmas season. We would be bold in this new year. I pray that we would make it a priority to be faithful with our very ordinary lives. Because through God in Christ, we know that it is in the midst of our ordinary faithfulness that God works with extraordinary love. Amen? Amen.